This is the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast on the 20th of March, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by CJ Miller and Sabrina Halverson on the news, and Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with another 3 days of cold air in his Indiana farm forecast. The HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com to learn more and stop by your local branch to talk about your ag operation today. In the news, ways to make sure ag products are shipped safely, and dicamba training is available for Indiana farmers. Also, a look at the markets. Mixed trade yesterday. Arlen Suderman has market analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Making sure that Indiana's ag exports make it safely to their final destination, and dicamba herbicide training available for Indiana farmers. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today, brought to you by McDonald's of Greater Indiana. This National Ag Week, McDonald's salutes all past, present, and future farmers across the Hoosier State. As more Indiana farmers and ag businesses are shipping their ag products overseas, there have been concerns about making sure that those products actually get to their destination. Sabrina Halverson reports how ag leaders are looking at ways to ensure that our ag products are shipped safely around the world.
At the Ag and Food Policy Summit at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. on Monday, a panel of experts discussed the keys to rebuilding export markets and overseas demand for U.S. agricultural goods. According to the USDA, the value of U.S. agricultural exports peaked in fiscal year 2022 before declining in 2023. Dan Hallstrom, president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, said that higher shipping rates and logistical challenges around the world, like shipping uncertainty in the Red Sea due to pirate activity, are concerning for all industries, not just agriculture.
These vessels don't just go to the Red Sea, they're going around the world. So what you're doing is you're adding more cost, more time. The more these conflicts continue to happen, the higher the cost of logistics and freight will be.
Cam Corals, CEO of the National Potato Council, said the international issues are tremendously complicated.
No single individual, no single entity is going to solve these. We have to have good coordination amongst all of the various agencies. You've got to have strong collaboration with all of our industry folks and our technical partners to get these things right. Sometimes it literally takes decades. We've seen that. But it's ultimately worth it when you can move the needle in that significant way.
Hallstrom said the U.S. Meat Export Federation is extremely optimistic going forward for export markets and overseas demand.
I have always looked at it this way, that the more success we have, the more issues that come up. So all the more reason that we have to be aligned as industries. I'm not just talking beef and pork, I'm talking agriculture. Agriculture is the backbone of the American economy. And I think with the folks in this room, on this panel, we're well equipped to handle the challenge.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
Well, planting season will be here before you know it, which is why Bayer is inviting Indiana farmers to take their dicamba herbicide training. Jennifer Stutz is with Bayer, and she says there's three different ways they're offering dicamba training. The first is in-person.
And if someone is interested in an in-person training option, they would reach out to their field sales representative and say, hey, I want to do one of those in-person training options. And the field sales representative would reach out to my team, and we would set one of those up at a dealership or a retailer that's interested in hosting one of those. And typically, they bring all their buddies into the dealership, and that field sales representative would come in and they would host and they would teach that training.
And their in-person training is done on a request basis with a Bayer sales representative. She also says they're offering dicamba training online.
We have two types of online options for training. So that first type is called a webinar. The next one's coming up on March 21st, and then our last one wraps up on Wednesday, April 10th. And with those webinars, what's unique about those is you have real people kind of walking you through the training. They're bear experts, they're bear scientists, and if you've got a question and you're bold enough, you can raise your hand, you can ask that question, they'll answer it, and if you're a little bit on the shy side, you can pop that question into a chat, and they will answer you back right there during the training.
Stutz adds that you can also sign up for their computer-based, self-paced training program.
And that's really available every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at the convenience of anybody that would like to take that training. So they would go to roundupreadyextend.com/training, and you can see all of your training options there, right? You can see the webinar, you can see the computer-based, and you can also see that in-person training option. You get some more information there.
You can find that link and read more at our website, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farm Credit Mid-America is a lender that has farmers' backs. With its patronage program, they give patronage-eligible customer owners a portion of their profits as cash. This year, Indiana patronage-eligible customer owners have gotten back more than $66 million. It's one more way Farm Credit Mid-America is showing up for farmers and strengthening rural communities. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. For more on patronage eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
The High Ground Podcast. Everything from energy and fuel.
It's Memorial Day weekend, going to be 87 to 89, maybe low 90s all weekend. So we thought we'd bring Scott Heine in. So we'll talk about home heat.
To agriculture.
Anytime we can help a farmer grow their business and meet their goals, that's a proud moment for me.
And, well, other things.
For some reason, like and subscribe. We don't know why, but that's important.
We want you to do it on your own, but we're going to tell you.
Listen now on all platforms.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we go forward, cold air is back in control of the region. We are chilly for the balance of today, tomorrow, and I think a large part of Friday. Now, Friday's going to be interesting. We've got an upper-level disturbance trying to move across the Great Lakes region. At this point in time, I don't think it drops a lot of moisture here, but I think we have to allow for at least the potential of cloud cover first in northern parts of Indiana and maybe a few hit-and-miss showers. But while that's going on in the north, honestly, we see temperatures easing, moderation in control over southern and central parts of Indiana. So Friday is going to be one of those days that I think it really just comes down to the amount of sunshine you see as to what kind of temperatures you end up with. Still, though, moisture around a few hundredths to a few tenths can fall in northern parts of Indiana, U.S. 24 northward, maybe 30% coverage out of that disturbance that's mostly affecting Wisconsin, Michigan, and then on into Ontario. The balance of the weekend is milder. Saturday, maybe not right away. We have some cool air behind the system up north for Saturday, but temperatures all right down in central and southern parts of Indiana. But Sunday is warm everywhere, and we keep that mild surge going with strong south flow through next Monday. A major weather system coming together to our west, but a little bit more north and west for early next week. I look for that moisture to hit us by the time we get to Tuesday, or overnight Monday night through Tuesday into early Wednesday. Showers, maybe a few rumbles of thunder. At this point, I'm going to say up to an inch of liquid, 100% coverage across Indiana. Behind that system, though, we see a sharp cool down once again. We're chilly for next at Tuesday night, Wednesday, and Thursday. How long this cold air stays is still subject of debate. It really comes down to the strength of Canadian high pressure in the plains. But I'm going to say it holds at least through Thursday. And then we also see skies clear out. So while we at least have colder air in here, we have sunshine to make it feel a little bit better. I want to point your eyes then to the western United States right at the end of the 10-day forecast window, seeing a large upper-level ridge with plenty of warm air in control from the Great Plains all the way through the West Coast. So I think that cold air moving out late next week is going to signal that we're going to be pushing into a new phase of warming here, getting ready to flip the calendar from March into April. We do so on a mild note. The 11 to 16-day forecast window showing plenty of warm air coming in from the west, and it should be a dry slug of warm air as well. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
In farming, experience counts. Every growing season teaches us something. Experience counts in farm broadcasting as well. and no other farm broadcasting team in the state has the experience of Hoosier Ag Today. Eric Pfeiffer, C.J. Miller, Andy Eubank, and Sabrina Halverson, an experienced team that gives you credible coverage of today's agriculture. On air, online, and on your mobile device, turn to Hoosier Ag Today.
Chicago wheat higher again, this time corn futures followed. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. Back and forth in soybeans, mostly lower though on the nearby contracts. We'll have all the numbers coming up. We begin with market analysis though. I got that at the end of trade from Arlen Suderman of Stone X. Arlen, the corn and wheat markets forge a higher path. So it's day number two of a wheat rally. This time corn followed. Trouble following though for soybean futures. Pretty flat all day long, working both sides of unchanged. So let's start with wheat, which has been leading the way. Is that all about Black Sea?
That's a great bit of it. Now, we did have some tailwinds from the rest of the commodity complex and the outside markets as well. Some of that's geopolitical risk. As you mentioned, Ukraine and Russia have been escalating their attacks on one another, with Ukraine using its newly gained tools to reach deep into Russia to attack oil refineries, and Russia therefore stepping up attacks on Odessa's export infrastructure, trying to hurt Ukraine's ability to export commodities. So stepping up the attacks, the risk going up for being able to export. We're seeing, therefore, wheat go higher, and we're at a time of year with the major funds having massive short positions, or who's going to take the other side? Because the farmer has largely sold a long time ago, so there's nobody really take the other side when these funds try to unwind their short positions. Unlike in corn and soybeans, where the farmer still has product to sell, especially in Brazil, which also sells against the Chicago market. So that's why it's easier for wheat to rally on these type of events and more difficult for corn and soybeans too at this point.
You referred to tailwinds from other markets. The equities pretty strong. Crude oil up a dollar. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, absolutely. And even with the dollar going higher, we're still seeing that strength in the commodities as well as the equities. And it's ahead of tomorrow's Federal Reserve statement. Now, the general expectation is that we will see the Federal Reserve dial back its kind of a dovish language that we saw back in December, and try to slow things down a little bit, because ever since that perceived December pivot in policy, we have seen inflation outperform expectations. And so the Fed wants to dial that back. And so it basically indicated on its dot plot graphic, where it shows where all the individual members are as far as rate cuts in future years, it had indicated maybe three rate cuts this year. So the market right away priced in six of them. I think the market's starting to finally believe the Federal Reserve that they don't intend to be that aggressive. The question is, will that dot plot graphic that's released tomorrow dial that back even more, maybe to one or two rate cuts this year? And that's what I think that they will end up doing. But for now, we're seeing some pretty good tailwinds for the commodities and equities today.
The problem in soybeans, does it simply remain too many stocks, not enough buying around the world?
Yeah, it's supply and demand. With Brazil harvesting a big crop, Argentina expected to harvest a big crop. Brazil's crop is smaller than what it would have produced had it not had some adverse weather. And there's a big debate about just what the size is, and those production estimates are wide apart. But even the lowest of the reputable estimates are still above levels that would suggest that we're going to see a big demand come back to us before we harvest our next crop. And so that's why we're struggling. Corn getting a little bit more support, though, from ideas that April's going to return hot and dry for the winter corn crop there. And it's not the heat that's a problem so much in the daytime as it's the nighttime temperatures have been among the warmest in history for that area over the last 40-some years. high enough to negatively impact pollination and grain fill if we continue the same weather pattern. So we're adding some risk premium back there as well.
Arlen Suderman, Market Analysis. Arlen is with Stone X. Settlements now from Tuesday trade. May corn, 439.5. July settles at 452.25. Both contracts gain 3.5 cents. And the December, 2.5 cents up, 473.25. Down 2.25 on May beans, 11.85.5. July, $12.25, down 2 cents on the day. Novi picks up 0.75 cents, going up to 11.81.25. 9.75 higher on May wheat, 5.52.5. The meat markets lower all day. April live cattle, 188.05, down 52. April lean hogs down an even dollar, 85.82. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.